Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
You're listening to the Crystal Palace Fan Show with the Back of the Nest podcast here on Love Sport with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I've been joined by regulars James Howard and DR Kernaz. Great to have you boys in the studio. How are you both?
Eagles!
Yeah. Yes!
Buzzing.
I got it!
Yeah, buzzing after the Bristol City win.
5-0. Yeah, exactly. No, wait, let's address matters at the top, where they belong. I wasn't going to ask this week. I thought, are they going to do it? Second week, I got it. Yeah. Eagles!
Well, that's it. I mean, you know, we've come in, I know it's only a friendly, but I asked for a clean sheet. DR asked for a few goals, and that's what we got.
Exactly. You got it. The 5-0, massive win. We've got lots to talk about tonight because we're inching towards the Premier League season and we've got a packed show. We are going to be talking about the 5-0 win against Bristol City. The boys are on fire. We're also going to be talking to former Palace striker Andy Gray. We've got our legend of the week, of course. Unfortunately, we still have to cover Zaha and talk a little bit more about those transfer rumours as the window is still open, but not for much longer. But let's start then with the Bristol City game. 5-0. I know they may play in the Championship, but we spoke a little bit about pre-season. We spoke last week that results weren't great. You mentioned that the fans were getting a little bit frustrated. How nice was this on the weekend?
It was brilliant. I was there with a couple of other people from the pod, and it was relieving because it's like, you look at the other games that we played so far in pre-season and it was so poor, but we got away with it by saying that it was just fitness tests. But now there's only a week left till the season starts.
A week and a half, yeah.
So it was encouraging. We needed a massive performance and there was some couple noticeable performances from the guys and hopefully they gave Roy a real question for his lineup when the season does actually start.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't there like you, DR, but what a fantastic way to sort of come, you know, go to an away game, even in a friendly, keep a clean sheet, get 5 goals. You know, this Benteke strikers have scored.
Yeah, Benteke scored.
Connor Wickham, another one. I've always rated Connor Wickham. It's just his injuries. That's the trouble with him. But I always think he's a really good player when he's fit. And so, unfortunately, in the past, he's got fit, got to that level, and he suddenly got injured. But, you know, it wasn't just the result that I took away from the game. It was Roy's comments after the game. I forget where I saw it, but I read it on the media. And he said, look, you know, let's get carried away. It's 5-0, but we are still short of 2 or 3 players. And we are desperately trying to get those 2 or 3 players, which to me is brilliant because it just feels like, you know, we are going hopefully in the right direction. And he knows that we have got some, obviously, some weak parts of the team.
It puts pressure on the board as well. Him coming out publicly and saying that we need transfers and the fact that we've still got the same bodies from when we have started pre-season and no one's really coming except for Stephen Henderson, which is a third-choice goalkeeper, I think it's telling. And I agree with him because if you look at our squad, especially fullbacks, there's a gap there and we don't have much depth there. And the players that are starting, you could argue, with Joel Ward, is he a Premier League starter right back? I don't think so. I don't think he can defend or attack in at the level at which you need in a Premier League. And also Patrick Van Aanholt, we saw what happened last season. No depth and it was so easy. Teams were targeting him. So we really do need a fullback. And the way that he came up publicly, I feel like now the board has to do something.
Well, you mentioned the public state in there of Roy Hodgson and his comments after the game, and we've talked a little bit about transfers in and transfers out, and you still need a few bodies. But let's actually talk about the game because people may say it was Bristol City, they're a league below, but you can't ask for much more, can you? James, you wanted a clean sheet, you got it. We said we needed goals, we got 5. This is a great team performance, and really what you wanted to see was big performances from your big players, because we can argue, right, pre-season hasn't been great, but a lot of it was the youngsters, the youth were getting a chance. These were your first teamers, and they went and put on a show.
Yeah, most noticeably Max Meyer. It was so good for him because last season the fans were calling him to start more games and Roy didn't favour him. I don't know what it was. Maybe he thought that he wasn't ready for the Premier League. But he started Max Meyer in a couple of games in pre-season, and I feel like this game just topped it because last season, when we were struggling to break teams down and when there were hardly any gaps in the middle, we had no one. But Max has shown to Roy that, look, I can go in a tight space and pick up the ball and create chances, because he'd done that against Bristol City. And I know it's Bristol City, but still, the way that Max operates, it'll be so important for us next season, because we really struggled scoring goals at home when teams are sitting back. So I think it gives a good question to Roy. And it's also interesting because Zaha was not starting. So Zaha still has to come back. And when Zaha does come back, who gets dropped? What I think is Jeffrey Schlupp, but I'm not too sure about you, because last season, Jeffrey Schlupp and both James McArthur, they were clearly Roy's favourites. So he has to drop one of them, and I'm not too sure which one he does.
Yeah, I think it's going to possibly be, you know, what game plan he decides on the day, you know, and who we're playing against. I always said that, you know, maybe with these players that come from abroad, it takes a season to sort of bed into the Premier League.
You're referring to Max there?
Max Meyer, yeah. And obviously he's come over from Germany. Maybe last season he wasn't quite up to the speed. It took him a while. He couldn't really settle down and keep his place. He definitely showed glimpses of how skillful he is and what the ability he's got. But I always felt that he'll come good, hopefully, this season coming. And he's been there. He's had a bit of experience in the Premier League now with Palace. He's had the whole of pre-season training. He can get himself up to the fitness as everyone else. He's obviously on the same level. And hopefully, yeah, you know, he can convert his skill onto the pitch and help us and retain a regular place. Because we definitely need that creative player. That was the problem all last season, is that we didn't have the creative players. We were sort of, you know, relying on one striker up front or Zaha, you know, getting the odd goal. And we've had some solid midfield players, but we haven't really had, apart from Wilf, but he's obviously been pushed artificially to a more forward position in the team because we've struggled with goals. But we haven't really had anyone that's actually creating so much recently. You know, they've all been sort of, I'd say, all round midfield players, you know, like McArthur and you were saying
Jeffrey
Schlupp. I'm hoping that he will be that player that will start creating a lot more chances.
The problem is with Max Meyer, he was wanted by a host of top European clubs. There is a question over his attitude and his output and his effort, because this was apparently the reason why none of the top European clubs come in for him, and he ended up at Crystal Palace, because the clubs that were linked with him, Juventus, Arsenal, really top European stalwarts, you know, he was in the German team of the year, but there's this question, has he got the desire? He's known sometimes to be, when things don't go his way, he can throw his toys at the pram. If he's not played, if he's brought off as a sub, he's someone that isn't too happy. Roy has signed him. He's managed to get him at Crystal Palace. I thought this was a great signing at the time. If he can sort of show that desire, discipline the player, and you can get the creative player that you lack, he could be a marquee player for the Eagles for the next 5 years, couldn't he?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's something that I spotted throughout the season, that he's tended to sometimes drift in and out of games.
Is that a complacency issue, James?
I don't know. Maybe it's a confidence issue. Maybe it's just he wasn't up to speed fitness-wise. Who knows? But what I can tell you is Roy is fantastic at keeping on top of a player, because what he's done with Andros Townsend is fantastic. Because Andros Townsend was accused of that in the past, of drifting in and out of games. But Andros Townsend, especially this last season, has been so consistent and involved in most games. It's brilliant.
To be fair, the Andros Townsend situation happened when Pardew was there, and everyone was really drifting in and out. But it's because it was mainly because Andros wanted to play on the right-hand side, but Pardew wanted him to play on the left-hand side. So there was issues like that. But another thing with Max is that when he did play last season with Wilf, they had a great partnership. So if he continues his starts next year in the Premier League, I'm actually very excited to see how many goals and assists they can combine between both of them, because they've got some talent there, and if they build a chemistry over the season, then they could be a very dangerous force.
You mentioned it could be a confidence issue with Max. I'm not so sure, because he's someone who, well, through the media, he certainly backed himself. He's quite verbal about that. He was quite surprised that no one did come in for him, because he was signed very late in the window last year, wasn't he, to Palace? But the fact of it is, he didn't sign for a different club, or shall we say a bigger club, no disrespect to Palace. He is at Palace. You're here now. Muck in and you will be loved by the fans and become the number 8, the number 10. He was very moaning about the way the system was at Palace. He wasn't sure how he would play at the start, but he could be the future, and you know, especially if Zaha is on his way.
Yeah, I don't think the Zaha thing will matter because, you know, there's a room for both of them in the team. And yeah, obviously if Zaha goes.
But in terms of fans' favourite.
But in terms of fans' favourite, definitely. We always like a creative player at Palace. And certainly we can see that he's got the skill. So I'm hoping that, you know, he does. But he needs to get off to a good start, to be honest with you, because there's no room for players and complacency in the Premier League. You know, as soon as you have a bad game, you get dropped. That's the trouble.
Well, let's talk about Wickham then, because you mentioned he's someone that's injury played, got on a score sheet this weekend. If he can stay fit, what type of player can he be for Palace? I just want to... James has just pointed out very kindly.
Yeah, we've got a game
that,
right now.
I did write this down in my notes. Palace are actually playing tonight. They're playing AFC Wimbledon. It's currently 0-0. We will keep you up to date. Maybe we'll get the team lineups and we'll announce who is playing. But Wickham scored on the weekend. He better score tonight. Maybe Max Meyer as well. So we'll be keeping our eye on that. But moving back to Wickham, he is injury played. He's fit now. He scored on the weekend. What player can he be for Palace?
It'll be like a new signing if he could stay fit. But that's a big if, because every time I talk about Connor Wickham, I say the same thing, that it's just every time he does come back, somehow he just manages to get injured without even playing. But I don't know. On a weekend, it seems like he's lost a bit of weight. That was quite noticeable. So hopefully that impacts him in a positive way where he doesn't pick up as many injuries, but we need him to stay fit. And if he is fit, he's a very good player, honestly. When he joined us, and I remember Benteke was playing out front, and oddly enough, Wickham was playing out wide kind of thing, it still worked. Like, Connor Wickham is a talented footballer who could score goals, as you saw on a weekend, and great finisher. So just stay fit, and it's the same with Benteke. If both of them stay fit, it'll be a massive boost for us.
Well, Wickham is playing tonight. He's starting. No Max Meyer in the lineup or on the bench, but Wickham is starting. Now, we are talking about his injuries and we're talking about Connor Wickham, but the Palace board, they weren't deterred by that and they offered him a new contract during all these problems. What kind of vote of confidence was that in his ability?
That's a brilliant vote of confidence. He's been back in the squad training since January, so we've calculated he's had about 6 months now without an injury. So that's brilliant. I mean,
and it does take time, don't it, James?
Yeah, of course it does. He did sort of have a couple of games. He came on as a substitute towards the end during the second part of the season. He's been at all the pre-season training and the games. So, yeah, I'm glad to hear from DR that he looks as if he's lost a bit of weight, because he should do, because he's got to prove to everyone else that he's the player he was 2 years ago when he got injured. And he's still young. He's still 26, I think. And that's the reason why they looked at it and thought, you know what, we'll offer you another one-year contract on top of the one you've got, because it's just so expensive going out and buying new players, isn't it?
And despite his injuries, there's clearly something there that encourages the team in terms of his medical report that, yeah, he could actually play. So it's good that we offered him a contract. If that was a case where the medical team did say that he might be all clear next season.
Well, we're hoping he can be firing on all cylinders this season. Another man we need to fire on all cylinders. We mentioned him last week, Christian Benteke, and he went and scored as well. How excited are we about him? Because I feel he can still be 20 goals a season.
When he scored, the celebration was so telling.
Your eyes just lit up there. You got excited,
exactly,
didn't you?
Yeah, I was excited like Christian Benteke. He scored a goal, and you wouldn't think that it was a pre-season game. You would think it's like a cup final game, the way that he ran.
Because I think players hear the outside noise, don't they, DR? They know they're not being written off, but they know that fans get frustrated. This isn't the sign of what we want here. You're not living up to expectations, shall we say. And he's sort of like, I still have the ability. I'm still here. He reckons he should be starting for Belgium. I'm the man in the know.
Sometimes people forget that footballers are humans. It's like they see what you say about them on social media. And it clearly has affected Benteke to a certain degree. And you could see it by a celebration that even though it was a pre-season game, that goal could give him massive confidence. So it's encouraging to see.
Well, it's never a truer statement. It does affect them, all the outside stuff, especially in an age of social media. Next up, we get to hear from Palace striker Andy Gray about maybe just how much things from the outside did affect players.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Crystal Palace Fan Show here. We're back of the Nest podcast with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I'm joined by James Howard and DR Kernaz. Excited for you both ahead of this new season, Eagles. We were just talking a little bit about Christian Benteke, and it's something I want to quickly bring back up to you both, because after last week's show, I went away and I was thinking about what you said, and you was like, we haven't signed anyone, we're worried, we could be sort of not facing relegation but in a relegation battle. And maybe from the outside looking in, I found that quite surprising, because I see Crystal Palace as an established Premier League side, one that isn't always there or thereabouts. You know, it's never an easy game with Palace, and I was quite shocked for you two to be like, oh, we don't feel that confident with the upcoming season. Now, though, it doesn't change with one pre-season game. Yeah. But if we can get these big players, Benteke is certainly one of them. Let's not forget, he played for Liverpool, done wonders with Aston Villa. Are we really sort of maybe selling ourselves short? Can we do better than you two said last week?
I think the problem is that last couple of years we've been pretty poor in the striker area. And the only reason we stayed up last season was probably, you know, with Batshuayi coming in and giving us a bit of strength up front. So yeah, we kind of really need to replace Batshuayi, but we also really need to have either Benteke or Connor Wickham coming good next season. But it's good to hear from DR that he, I mean, my concern, and probably a lot of listeners out there from a Palace point of view, would say, you know, we all know Benteke, you know, in the box he can score goals and headers and he's great, but how was his all-round play, like passing and holding up the ball? Because I always found it a bit off last season.
It was good, but the thing with Benteke is that we don't use him to his best of abilities. It seems like whenever he's in a box we don't want to cross, and when he's not in a box we want to cross the ball. And you look at his goal, it was
very strange.
Yeah, exactly. You look at his goal, we put, I can remember this, it was like the first cross to Benteke kind of thing, and he managed to put it in. So I feel like we just need to do what's best for him and just fit the system into his style of play, because when he, like, in terms of headering, he's good at that, but it seems like we don't put as much as crosses into the box.
How frustrating is it for fans when, James, you just mentioned there, oh, for the last few years, you know, we've needed a striker, we needed goals. So you, the fans, see it. It's been going on for a few seasons. Why don't the board and the management say, right, this is our number one problem, we need to address it, let's go in and get our man?
Well, I think they did in a way with Batshuayi. I think, you know, you've got a player, Benteke, that's on, you know, quite a high amount of wages and cost a lot of money. So I think they're probably a bit reluctant to just tear up the contract and say, look, you know, we'll just cut our losses on here. Because obviously no one else has come in for him. Because he was, as far as I was concerned, he was slated on, you know, BBC most weekends. I mean, it was, his play was that poor. I don't know. I mean,
we've tried to bring in strikers. It's not like we haven't looked at an area, but in terms of strikers, it's very hard because you judge a striker by basically the goals they scored. And we got Serloff, who doesn't seem like he's in a Premier League level, and we'll probably talk about him later because he's been linked with a move away from the club. We brought in Batshuayi, which did work out. So we are trying to bring in strikers, but it's just a transfer market. It's not easy to say, all right, we're going to spend 30 million and we're going to get a goal scorer, because it's not always the case.
We've spoke about Townsend, Max Meyer, effort levels, desire. Is Benteke another one that falls under that umbrella a little bit?
I don't think so. He's suffered injuries. I feel like deep down he's a quality striker, and it was just a matter of confidence, really, because he had a long-term injury, and as I said, mentally and physically, injuries could actually impact you more than people think. Like, imagine being off the field for so long, and there was actually a documentary and you saw the real insights to it, and it did hurt him. Like, it did hurt him to see that his fellow teammates are out there training and he can't do that, he can't play football. So I feel like he's had a bit of time off, and it might work in his favour, because sometimes with injuries it can make or break plays. Some players, it depends on how you respond, but with Benteke I've still got a bit of confidence. But it's like, it's very hard with him, because part of me says, oh, it's a confidence issue. Part of me says that, well, it seems like he's not the player he used to be. And there's also another thing that we don't play to his strengths. So it's very hard to judge a player. But next season, if he stays fit, now that he's had a bit of time off and had pre-season under his belt, I feel like he could be a decent player for us if we play to his strengths.
Personally, I don't think he'll get a look in next season. I haven't rated him the last couple of years, and a lot of people sit around me.
When you say look in, James, you mean first 11, or he's not even making the bench?
I think unless something drastically happens with his performance, I think he'll struggle to make the team and possibly the bench. I mean, I know we're going to talk about it. We're looking at strikers at the moment. There's one or two we're looking at now. If Conor Wicker comes good, I could see him getting picked ahead of Benteke. So I'm not so sure that... I think Benteke's really got to prove himself this season, because otherwise he is literally going to be left behind.
I disagree. I feel like Benteke, because of the wages he's on, he's just going to get the chance. And it's similar to Conor Wickham. They're both injury-prone players. And it seems like Benteke, if you're basing things on pre-season, Roy's giving him the nod ahead of Conor Wickham. So I feel like it'll be Benteke starting. And then next to Benteke will be either Schlupp or Zaha kind of player.
Well, so I'm glad to announce that James's emotions, James's smile has gone from ear to ear. It's gone to a good 9 from a solid 5. I thought I'd annoyed him, but he's a very happy man now indeed, because Crystal Palace have just gone 1-0 up against Wimbledon, James.
Yeah, I didn't recognise the player, did you?
Yeah, I know. When I looked at the lineup, it was the same situation, but yeah, I don't know.
One of the youngsters.
It's one of the youngsters.
See, it takes 1-5-0 win, and now you're on a roll. Right, get down.
Clean sheets.
Yeah, Crystal Palace are on a charge. The Premier League is only kicking off in a week enough. And I'm now delighted to say we do have former Palace striker Andy Gray on the line. Difficult to get him at first. I thought he was trying to play negotiation transfer window style, but we've managed to lock him down. Andy, we're talking a little bit about Palace's transfer window. You know, it's been a bit slow. We haven't signed the players that we wanted. Maybe Zaha's on the way out. What do Palace need in this window to really kick on for next season?
Well, first of all, you're supposed to say good evening. And I'm saying good evening to you. That's etiquette.
I'm sorry, Andy. It's just because we waited for you so long. I didn't know if we was going to get you. You're keeping me on my toes.
Well, I'm paying for the phone call as well, by the way, because like every time you guys invite me on, I have to ring in because some reason you just want me to pay for the phone call. But anyway, Ents, let's carry on.
Andy, all right, you're paying for the phone call. We're sorry about that. You know what I mean? It's cool keeping you on your toes. That's where it is.
No, I'm too old for that.
No games here. Well, Palace fans are on their toes. They need to know, who are they going to be signing? Because they're a little bit worried this end. They've not made many moves. Relegation, it might be on the horizon. What do you think?
No, I think, listen, you just got to be very patient in this market, because like there's players that are overpriced. You can put them on big money, and if things go wrong, then you're in trouble. So at the end of the day, they've got to play the game right to the end. And listen, there is, I would say, 10 sides in that division that we're better than. So I don't think it's that much of a mad rush to go and get something which is not really better than what you got.
Hi, Andy. It's been a while since we spoke, but Wan-Bissaka, he managed to get sold for around 50 million. What's your thoughts on that? Because many Palace...
But I told you at the time, I said I would have driven him to Man United to get the 50 million.
So you're happy with that? Yeah.
Of course. You got to be, ain't you?
But then...
50 million?
Yeah, but wouldn't you say that in a couple of seasons, let's say he was playing as he was, that his value could have increased by another 10 million? Or 15 million,
yeah,
in fact.
Yeah, but if my auntie was my uncle, then it'd be you don't look at foot. Listen, you can only deal with football at the time. Mm. You don't look 2 years. Say he would have got injured. I mean, we could have a different, a mad conversation about what if and this and that. It's not the movies. You know what I mean? Mm. It's not Hollywood. It's football.
Yeah.
And you've got to do what you've got to do. When the iron's hot, you've got to strike. Get your 50 mil.
Good evening, Andy. It's me again. Just a quick question. Yeah, good evening to you, sir. You're saying Wan-Bissaka, happy for him to move on. 50 million, a great bit of business there by Palace. You take the money, happy days. What about Zaha then? How do you feel about that situation?
Well, that's a difficult one, because at the end of the day, everyone has like built the scenario, if he leaves, we're down, which is not the case. He's a great player. Personally, he needs to go to that next level to actually achieve whatever he wants to achieve. And that's no disrespect to my club, but he does need to go to the next level. And listen, they should hold out and get 70, 80 million for him, because there's no one out there who plays like him other than Messi and the other guy, Ronaldo.
Wow. Andy, it's James here. How you doing, mate?
Sweet, bruv.
Good. Look, I've got a question here, which I wanted to put on the schedule, and we've missed it. We've missed the cut-off point. But basically, everyone at Palace is rating Zaha at 80 million, or thereabouts. But no one is coming in anywhere near 70 or 80 million. Why is that?
Why? Because it's Crystal Palace.
Yeah, but expand on that.
Well, you don't. How many reasons you want? Like, do you know what I mean? If your girlfriend says she's leaving you, she's leaving you. How many reasons? You know what I mean?
You only need one reason, Andy. Are you saying?
Exactly.
Are you saying, Andy? I'm just trying to get back on your good books now because you've made me feel bad for not saying good evening. But are you saying teams find it easier to almost bully Crystal Palace then a little bit when it comes to transfer negotiations?
All day long. Because you know why? Think about it. You're Crystal Palace and say Arsenal. Now, you being a Crystal Palace player and Arsenal coming in and offering 45 million, you're thinking to yourself, well, listen, take it, chairman, because I want to play for Arsenal. But if it was Southampton offering 45 million, he would say, well, no, I'd rather wait till something else better comes along. Do you know what I mean?
But Andy,
that's all it is.
But yeah. Andy, you say that, but there's a counter argument saying, well, how come Aaron Wan-Bissaka went for 50 million? He's a fullback. Fullbacks generally don't go for a lot of money. Centre backs might do, but not fullbacks. They've come in for Aaron Wan-Bissaka, 50 million.
But this is what I'm saying to you. This is what's wrong with football, right? And I'm not criticising you guys. You've got your show. Well, I'm not being funny. You've got to talk about something. Well, it's common sense that the kid is, what, 20? Is he 20 yet? Or 19? 21? What is he?
He's young. Yeah, he's 20, 21, I think. Yeah.
Right. So I'm not being funny. Spending 50 million on this kid now, right? And if he does what he's supposed to do, they get 120 million for him.
Well, that's why I didn't want to sell him.
No, but Palace couldn't keep him till he was worth 120 million because the side he's not. Do you understand? He wouldn't develop. Mm. He wouldn't develop into a 120 million pound player. Let's get it right. Palace, like, listen. You know my history there.
Yeah, but Andy, you did develop. You got on the England team. Yeah, you played that internet. You were in with five other players in the England team.
Yeah, but I went. I had to go away. I had to go away to see what the grass was like on the other side. Yeah, and the grass wasn't that better. And obviously, I was comfortable at Palace. That's where I played all my best football. Forget about all the other clubs I went to. That is where I played my top game.
But what I'm saying is, when you were at Palace, we got to top three, and we had five internationals in our team. So if we keep Aaron Wan-Bissaka, keep Zaha, keep strengthening the team, why can't we do, not necessarily do a Leicester, but we could get into Europe maybe if we strengthen.
Listen, that side what finished third, right? You'll be in a box. I will be in a box before you, right? You'll never get that again. That side we had was unique. It was unique. If you look at the players and you could like put them in and think, well, could they challenge the team that we've got now? How many of them, I would say Wilf and the boy who's got the Man United would be the only two that would have got in the team.
Yeah, so what you say? So Steve Coppell did an exceptional job getting the players in that he did that were obviously had great potential.
Of course he did. I mean, at the end of the day, it's about hunger. Like, if you're giving squad players over £1 million a year, well, do you think they're bothered? No disrespect, and I'm generalising.
Andy. Just one last question, because I know you've called us, and I'm thinking about you, mate. I care. I just want to ask, is there any legs there?
No, you just want to get me off the line. You just want to get me off the line. I'll pay for the coy suite.
If I'll be honest, Andy, if you want to do another 27 minutes, mate, with the back of the nest, we'll have you. I'm just thinking of you. I thought you might want to swerve us off. But
it's a premium rate number, by the way.
I don't care. It's all right.
Just quickly, Andy.
I'm getting turned on by it.
Oh, there you go. There you go. It's glad to have you with us. I just want to quickly ask, we've spoke about Zaha. You said it's a difficult one. Is there any legs then with the move to Everton? He's not going to want to go there, surely.
Listen, if Everton are offering him 200 grand a week, why ain't he going to go to Everton? And like he's talking about, I want to play Champions League football. Well, there's only four teams who can in the country that you can go to with Champions League football. Mm. So, let's be real here. Listen, if you're asking my opinion, the kid's worth 80 million all day long. And I don't care about what anyone tells me, he's worth 80 million. Because he does what people cannot even do. And you know what? You know what it is. At the end of the day, I'm surprised Man City haven't come in. But Man City would bully it, and they would offer a 60 mil. Mm.
Can you see Palace folding and taking 60 mil?
Listen, 60 mil is a lot of reddies. Do you know what I mean?
It is a lot of reddies.
But they don't want to sell because they're going to lose 20% straight away, aren't they?
Yeah.
So might as well keep him
to United.
Yeah, but think about it. They sold him for 15, right? And they brought him back for, I don't know if what it was, 10, 15. But Man United said, all right, listen, we want 20% of the sell-on. Yeah. Now, why didn't Palace hold out and go, no? Because, I'm not being funny, he got shipped everywhere and he was really bad. No disrespect to him, I'm not criticising him, but he was really bad at Cardiff. So, at the end of the day, Palace still had the legs to say to Man United, well, you know what? And you know, Man United were in a phase where they didn't really know what they were doing. But someone most probably said, you know what? Let's just throw in 20%.
To be fair,
see if they bite.
It is capped though. It's not 20% for, like, let's say we sell 60 million. It's not 20% or 60 million. It's capped, I think, around 50 million. So we've sort of got a deal there.
Well, you say it's a deal, but at the end of the day, listen, they got 20%. Do you know what I mean? I wouldn't mind 20% of your reddies for the rest of your life. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Andy, I feel like we're on a level now because my producer just said in my ear he don't know what reddies is, and I was fully with you there, so he's definitely not he's not from London. But I do want to ask you then, is it a question of reddies? Because does it come down to, look, they're obviously earning good money, we know that, but does it come down to, look, 10 grand here, 20 grand here, I want to win trophies, I want to play at the top level, you don't mind taking a little hit on the money? Or as a former player, is it, nah, it's where the biggest pay packet is?
Well, no, it wasn't about that for me as a former player, but when people talk about medals, right, like, look, in the last 5 years, how many teams have won competitions? And you're talking about, then people, players are now saying, oh, I want to win medals. Well, there's like, what, six teams that have won, like, trophies in the last 5 years in this country? And it's the usual suspects?
Yeah.
So if you're not going to any of them sides, you're not getting no medals. You're getting readies. That's what you're talking, readies.
Unless you move into China. Well, Andy, thanks for joining us tonight. I hope you have a good evening. Thanks for calling us. And hopefully, sure we'll speak to you soon.
No problem at all.
Cheers,
have
mate.
A good one, boy.
Take care.
Cheers, Andy.
I've got to admit, I think that was all right afterwards. He scared me at the start when I didn't say good evening. But I've been taught on here just to go straight in with
next
the questions.
Next time, you have to make sure you say good evening.
Yeah, because if we have too much chit-chat, then we're not covering the questions, are we? But what a delightful chat that was. It was a mad 20 minutes. I think I'm always going to remember it. But apparently, he says it's not all about the Reddies. Love Sport. You're listening to the Crystal Palace Fan Show here on Love Sport with the Back of the Nest podcast. And I'm joined by James Howard and DR Kernes. And I just want to say good evening to you both. Good evening.
Yeah.
I hope you're having a good evening so far. I'm literally going to say after every break, good evening, just so I'm making sure I'm getting my radio etiquette there. But Andy Gray on the phone. What an absolute legend. What a brilliant chat.
Good character, isn't he? Yeah. He really speaks from the heart, really. He doesn't hold back.
Yeah, he definitely doesn't. It's good, though.
It's good because I think, you know, we can get a little bit, James. Is this fair that, you know, sometimes now younger players, modern players, they're almost told what to say, very robotic. I always feel like, is that genuine? Is that authenticity? We want them to really be themselves. And with a player like Andy Gray, he's telling you 100% what he thinks.
Yeah, and everyone will respect him because he ended up playing for England. He had one cap for England, and he played for a very, very good Crystal Palace side back in the day under Steve Coppell, who ended up third. So, you know, he was of a time where there wasn't as much money flying around. Yeah, they were paid very well, but, you know, nothing like compared to these days.
It's so crazy because he wasn't playing that long ago, but in terms of the golf in what players earn now in money,
it's crazy.
Ridiculous, yeah.
It's crazy.
Absolutely ridiculous.
20 years, or even 10 to 20 years, it's just ridiculous. I mean, look at Wan-Bissaka. Yeah. He set himself up for life because he's just signed a £5 million worth contract at the age of, what, 20, 21?
Yeah, 21.
And even if he gets... I said this the other week before you were a child. I said if he gets injured on day one, he's still made £5 million.
Do you think it's hard for players who used to play to relate to the players that play now? Because I can't even comprehend how much you're earning, the cars, the hazard. Yeah. We still sort of living in the area.
Of media attention as well. I feel like 100% the game has changed both on the pitch and off the pitch.
You can't approach players as much anymore. I mean, massively. I remember going to the games and you'd have a ticket in the players' lounge. And you'd go in the players' lounge and you'd often get the odd player coming in after the game and have a chat with them.
Very friendly, easy, but very
these
approachable.
Days, they're too frightened to speak.
Well, I'll be honest, I don't know, just quickly, I know you want to get in there, DR, but, you know, we're a similar age. I don't know about you. If I saw a player, I'll be honest, I don't think I'd approach him just because, you know, even if it wasn't a club I'd support, because I think, oh, are they going to give me their time? I know they get it all the time as well. Whereas if it was a player from maybe who'd played just a little bit before that era, I'd go, I really want to hear what anecdote they got to say or talk about that side with Steve Cobb or nothing, and they'll probably give me 5 minutes of their time. Do you find that?
Yeah, I think with certain players at Palace I do. For instance, I know that Zaha, if you're a little kid, like he will give you the photo, but if you're like my our age, then no, he doesn't like it. And there's like Mile Jedinak,
but you're just as much a fan.
Yeah, but yeah, I know, but Mile Jedinak on the pitch, he was a great captain. But I remember one time seeing Jedinak try and avoid the fans by going through the Sainsbury's car park and going through the bushes, and you just spotted him there. Like, there are players like that. So, but then again, there's Julian Speroni's in the world where the guy will just sit there and talk to you for like 2 hours after the game because he's that type of player. So I feel like there's just mixed personalities. And at Palace, I've seen all kinds of them.
Does that change how you feel towards a player? You know, they say don't meet your heroes almost, don't they? And then you meet someone you really like and who's playing for your club, and then you sort of see an incident like that and you're like, it's hard for me to root for him almost.
I understand, but end of the day, I get why Zaha doesn't want to take a photo of every single person, because he's still human and he wants to go on by his day. Just because he's going shopping, he doesn't have to take a photo. But yeah, I understand both sides of the story. I won't look at Zaha and be like, oh wait, he doesn't take pictures, oh no, like I can't support him anymore, because he doesn't have to do that. But then again, he does other stuff. He has charity work and stuff, so he's still a good man deep down.
Yeah,
so yeah, I don't really focus on that.
Well, we have been talking to Andy Gray. What? I'm still trying to get over the conversation, still trying to put my thoughts together. But it's been good to speak to one former Palace legend. But it is indeed time now for your club legend of the week.
Yeah, so
you're both so nice. Exactly.
Right, so this week it's going to be Andrew Johnson.
Oh, legend.
Yeah, so he played 140 AJ. Times and he scored 74 goals, which is unbelievable when you think about it.
That run he was on at Palace, yeah, it was incredible, wasn't it?
It was incredible. He scored a lot of goals, won a lot of penalties that season. We were still a struggling side in the Premiership that year, but he managed to get into the England team. But he was very quick on the ball. And he was, the defenders really couldn't get the ball off him, couldn't get near him, and he used to just get penalty after penalty. And then he used to also score in the big games as well, you know.
I think he's... You know, in terms of his, of course, I couldn't watch AJ. When AJ was playing for Palace, I was like 4 years old.
You can't remember that?
Yeah, I can't remember.
That's disgraceful.
Well, when I was four, I can't remember what I done last week. But yeah, it's like I've heard similarities in terms of not the playing style, but him and Zaha and getting penalties, and people are like, look, Zaha does get penalties, but look at AJ, he got penalties much easier than Zaha, and it seemed like there was like a reputation of him kind of diving. I don't know, what do you think of
that?
Yeah,
no, there was a lot of accusations of him diving, but what I suppose from memory, the difference between him and Zaha was that one minute there would be a pass to AJ and he would literally be so quick and it would be all really through the middle, sort of. So he would break away from the last third of the pitch and just literally be much more direct than Wilf. Whereas I think with Wilf winning his penalties, there's quite a lot of dribbling, a bit of trickery, and it's kind of all in slow motion in a way. So yeah, different types of players, but certainly AJ was a very quick player, and I think that that the speed that he had and the close ball control helped him win those penalties that he did.
He had some big moves, AJ, but I felt like it was all built off the back of the success with Palace, weren't it, in that season when he was frightening. My one highlight of AJ, and I'm sure, I hope I'm right, James, it was against Liverpool. There was a cross went in and it literally hit his head, but he managed to direct the header past Jersey Dudek. Do you remember this goal?
Yeah, I vaguely remember that one. Yeah.
As a kid, I was like, how has he done that? Because he got hit in the head with a ball, yeah, but he managed to direct it real powerful straight past, yeah, Dudek. It was like on the edge of the box, weren't it? It was from a free kick.
Yeah, I do.
Just a fantastic goal, and he had some great moves. He even got in the England side then. He was just a massive Palace legend.
Yeah, no, he was. And, you know, he wasn't a big player, a small player. So
some of the best ones are, James.
Yeah. I remember, yeah, he's actually smaller than me. I'm not the tallest, but yeah, I remember actually. In
don't sell yourself short. No, though, yeah. Good things come in little packages, mate.
I remember in October, we had the little Palace for Life marathon march, and AJ was there with Anil Shipley and stuff. But I feel like, I don't know about you, James, but injuries kind of impacted his career, especially the knee.
Right, yeah.
Even like during the marathon march, like you could see that he had pain in his knee. And I feel like that's pretty much like the downside to him. If he wasn't injured, then maybe he could have played on for longer. And
yeah, he had some serious injuries, I think, after cruciate ligament, maybe.
Yeah, he came back to Palace in 14-15, but he didn't really.
Well, it's horrible to see, but it never tarnished his legacy. And he was, AJ, your Crystal Palace Legend of the Week.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Crystal Palace Fan Show with me, Charlie Hawkins, on Love Sport. And I've been joined by the Back of the Nest podcast boys, James Howard and DR Kernes. Good evening to you both. We've had a great show tonight. Andy Gray, we've talked a little bit about Zaha. We spoke about pre-season. But as we've said, the transfer window is still open. Crystal Palace, they have had a bit of a slow window. Not that much activity. But could we see it increasing in the last 10 days or so? DR, you believe so?
Hopefully. Reports came out today from Michael Bridge, who tends to cover Palace, is that Palace are going for two forwards, Ollie Watkins and the second one, I'm not too sure if I can pronounce it, Fedor Shelov, I think. Yeah, both forwards. Ollie Watkins is from Brentford, he's a winger. He's got, you know, he's got eye for goal. So, yeah, should we start with him first?
Yeah.
I mean, the report suggested that Palace will offer Serloff as part of the deal, and I'm not too sure where I saw it today, but apparently there's a 5 million plus Serloff bid rejected, which is understandable. It's the equivalent of like Everton offering 55 mil for Zaha, like it's out of order. But yeah, I feel like that's the type of player that we should go for if we're going to go for any forwards, because if he's a winger, and let's say that we do bring him in, then that might push Zaha up front next to Benteke or Connor Wickham. So I still feel like we can strengthen that area. And I said it, I think, last week, where it's no one really talks about it, but we haven't got much depth in wide positions.
Well, something you mentioned, James, quickly just there. You said if we do sign players, we may have to look towards the Championship. Now you're linked with Ollie Watkins. Is this, you feel, maybe the signing that you are going to make?
Yeah, definitely. This is exactly what I've been hoping that we would do is yeah, maybe we will, like DR said, have to spend a bit more than 5 million. We are taking liberties.
Have Palace got 5 million, though? Because you did say last week, you know, we had to manage the books with the Wan-Bissaka deal. How much do you think is in the kitty then?
I think there's still more than 5 million. I don't think we're in that much of a bad situation. But, of course, there was certain money that went towards the club because of losses made previously.
Sorry, dear, not a case of have you got 5 million. Yeah. You certainly have. How much do Palace want to spend? They might have it, but they might not want to spend it.
Yeah, and that all depends on where the club's going, what direction it's going. So if there were owners potentially coming in to buy the club, they're probably not going to want to spend it. But I think there were rumours about Chinese people. I don't think that's happening now.
But and also, another thing is that Roy came out publicly after the game. After the Bristol game, and I feel like that put pressure on the board. Now the board has to bring in players, because if they don't, then Roy could easily use that excuse that I wasn't backed, and that's why we're in a position we're in, and that's why they have to go out there and get players in, because I understand, Roy, like, you have to, if you don't improve in the Premier League, if you don't bring in players, then you're just going to stay, you can't stand still, you just go down.
Is that why you think a manager, you know, we know Roy, he knows his way around a managerial game, he's done it for years, he's managed some of the top clubs, he's been at Palace a while, he knows what to say and when to say it. Is this why managers do it? They hear fans' frustrations and they almost go, you know, Eagles fans, I want to spend, it's down to the board, it's not me not trying to improve the team, these guys upstairs need to put their hand in their pockets.
Yeah, I don't know how accurate that is, actually, because I got the message from the media that it was both Steve Parrish and Roy Hodgson that were kind of like together saying that, you know, we are desperately seeking to get to a free transfer.
They seem like they're on the same page.
Yeah, and going back to the original question, you know, I'm really excited about this because Ollie Watkins, he is something that he's young, he's 23, it's a good age, you know, he's not too young, but he's at the right end of 20s. Mm. Price wise, you know, 5 million, even if it goes up to 10 million, that's not unreasonable. And, you know, it could be a deal involving Sorloth because the owners are linked in some way with the Scandinavian club. So that would be fantastic. The other signing that you touched on, DR, which was Fyodor Shalov. I don't know if that's a bad pronunciation.
But I love how you attempted
it. I went to Russia for 1 week, so I've got
you've even done the little twang. You did.
Shalom.
James, for all my Russian pronunciation, I'm going to come to you. Is that all right?
Spasibo.
Yeah, perfect.
All my Russian listeners will know what that means. Anyway, this guy who is... They are, again, you know, done his research. I know he's playing for a top Russian club in Moscow, CSKA.
Yeah, CSKA.
But DR said he's actually scored in Champions League football. Wow, you know, Champions League player coming to Palace. Fantastic. But I'm really excited because he's only 21. And we're talking about bidding 14 million.
Yeah.
And that's in 50, Euros. Yeah,
which apparently they're... Palace have actually bid.
It was on early on Sky Sports News today. Yeah. We can confirm Palace have bid for him. In today's market, I thought, look at his age, look at his statistics. Mm. He has scored, DR, you said it. This seems to me, we haven't seen him play for Palace yet, but it looks like a bargain. We're not talking about the 40s, 50s here. If they can get a player at this price...
It does. I haven't watched him play like that, of course, because I don't follow the Russian Super League. But I was watching YouTube highlights.
Classic. Where everyone goes. Exactly. Football Manager at its best.
You know what? I'll be honest. I wouldn't say that I'm extremely looking forward to it. But if it does happen, I reckon that it would probably be better than Sorloff, which is a plus. But I don't want us to go down the route of spending 15 million and a player ending up like Sorloff. I'd rather... spend that on someone who's got more potential and hasn't got the talent right now, then risk it.
You don't want no panic buys buying someone for the sake of it.
Yeah, exactly. Because I've seen him play and he's got a knack for goals, but I don't know. I'm not that convinced, even though he's 21.
I think we're a bit restricted. I don't know if we've got the money to go out and buy a proven Premiership
but
striker.
But the Watkins for 50 million... that rumoured deal. That sounds encouraging because he's played in England and I've seen him play a couple of times and I know the kind of player he is and he's a decent player. So 50 million, I think it's worth the gamble. But when you're going abroad and yes, it's the Russian Super League and I know he's 21, but it is very risky. And if the club wants to take the risk, then go ahead. But hopefully they've done the scouting and they're not going and buying him just for the sake of it.
I think if we were to lose Zaha, I'd be a bit more concerned. But I think if we keep Zaha, then I think we got the ability to take a little bit of a risk on buying someone from, Russia or Brentford.
Yeah, I feel like if I'd rather get Watkins and a fullback than get Shalov.
Well, there you have it. They need to make a sign-ins and they have made bids. Next week on the Crystal Palace Fan Show, we will be on the eve of the Premier League season. We can't wait to see what's in store. We'll be doing an opposition review and lots more. Who knows? Maybe even Andy Gray will be back. And this time, I'll say good evening. But for now, it is up the Eagles.
This is Love Sport. This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio. So some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.